Hello again and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck and thanks for joining me once again. Here's the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending September 16th, 2016. A day of heavy rain caused flooding and traffic problems in southeast South Dakota on Thursday. As SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt reports, in many cases, the rain took city storm sewers to their limits.
Excess rainwater flows into the storm sewer in Centerville at a more relaxed pace than during the powerful storms of earlier in the day. Storms came in two waves during the day, with the first rain saturating ground that has seen plenty of moisture lately. That left no place for the rains from the second storm to go. Centerville Fire Chief Tim Ganshaw says it will take a while for the town's storm sewers to completely drain.
Everything's running smooth. There's water sitting on the streets mainly because there's so much water sitting, it's got to drain from the east side of town all the way to the west side of town. So it's just going to take some time for everything to get sloped down to the river.
Officials say as much as a half foot of rain fell in some parts of the southeast. Mike Foose with the National Weather Service in Sioux Falls says meteorologists figured on storm totals of a half inch to 2 inches of rain.
But they started training the thunderstorms, especially along an axis from Bonhomme and Yankton County straight northeastward through Sioux Falls. And it just kept going and going along some upper level features that didn't want to move for whatever reason. And that's when we started getting these 4 to 6 inch rainfall amounts before it finally shoved east after mid-afternoon.
Foo says most of the flooding issues were confined to communities, especially those with poor drainage systems. Some farm fields in southeast South Dakota were flooded, and officials report a house fire in Brandon that was caused by lightning.
A Lakota man protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline was also part of a Black Elk Peak renaming ceremony. Phil Little Thunder sees links between the two locations. SDPB's Jim Kent has more.
Phil Little Thunder's ancestors were among those killed in 1855 when U.S. Army troops led by General William S. Harney attacked the Lakota at Blue Water Creek. And it was in Harney's honor that the highest peak east of the Rockies was formerly named. Little Thunder feels it was a traditional belief and prayer that helped bring about the change to Black Elk Peak.
The way that our ancestors probably wanted it. We did a lot of prayer and prayer walks and ceremonies and children doing the prayers and like that's what this is about, the future generations.
Little Thunder notes that this same belief in prayer and traditions like the Chinupa, or sacred pipe, is present at the Sacred Stone Camp.
So those people up north in Cannonball, they know, they're all there in prayer, despite some of the newspaper or media things that they talk about. Maybe it's misquoted or something.
Little Thunder believes one significant misquote that may have started a rumor is the perception that there are pipe bombs at the Sacred Stone Camp.
They said, oh, they're loading their pipe bombs, they said. We're loading, they call in Lakota, opagi means to put tobacco in the pipe. So that's what we do.
Little Thunder believes some mistook loading a sacred pipe with tobacco for loading a non-existent pipe bomb. He says this led to unnecessary fear and anxiety among many. Those camped in North Dakota, notes Little Thunder, are committed to nonviolence.
Spearfish Canyon is considered among the best places in the state to view fall colors. One man who tracks the color change each year says the canyon is now at about 40% of its peak range. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner reports.
Meteorologists say areas above 5,500 feet could see a late summer snow this week. But this doesn't concern Jerry Boyer, who's been monitoring Spearfish Canyon's fall change for years. He says a small amount of snow isn't enough to harm vegetation. Rather, he says it could actually prolong the leaf's colors.
The rate of color changing has more to do with dry weather. When we get moisture, it tends to slow it down a bit. So it would be maybe we could say good news. The more moisture we get, so it gives us a longer season.
Boyer adds that his 2016 peak fall color prediction has already changed.
But now with the moisture this last week, it may not be as early as I thought. So I thought it was going to be one of the earliest periods that we've experienced. Now it may be more in the middle of the period, which is in that range of September 27 to 29.
More precipitation is possible in the area throughout the week, but temperatures are expected to climb back to the lower 70s by Wednesday. The first official day of fall is September 22nd.
The VA Black Hills Healthcare System is hosting a series of mental health summits designed for veterans, their families, veteran service organizations, and local agencies. The goal of the event is to create collaborative efforts to enhance the mental health and well-being of veterans and their families. SDPB's Jim Kent has the story.
Rich Rayner is a mental health specialist for the VA. He says this is the fourth year the annual Mental Health Summit has taken place, but the first time there's been a concerted effort for outreach in rural areas.
Most of South Dakota, western South Dakota, depending on how you look at it, is highly rural or isn't even considered rural anymore. It's considered frontier. And so when we have veterans leave our facility, we need to know folks in the community that we can hook them up with, especially individuals who are transitioning out of residential. So if there's a crisis, that they know who to contact and how to connect with care.
Rayner admits that finding mental health support in rural areas can be a challenge. He says this is part of the reason for the Mental Health Summit. Rayner says it's because of this that the VA invited everyone from veteran service officers to mental health providers to vocational rehabilitation organizations to the events. The 2016 Veterans Mental Health Summit takes place in Rapid City and Hot Springs on Wednesday and Thursday, respectively.
This week there are climbers on Mount Rushmore. A preservation team is updating equipment critical to maintaining the sculpture. SDPB's Levi Gutz has more.
The Mount Rushmore National Memorial Preservation Team is scaling up and down the faces through Friday. Their purpose is to install new systems that measure cracks in the granite. The data gathered from the old machines had to be downloaded physically at the top of the sculpture. The new system gathers and sends data in real time to the Park Service below. Maureen McGee Ballinger is the Chief of Interpretation and Education at Mount Rushmore. She says the technology is making the sculpture's preservation much easier.
Each head has cracks on it. We label each crack by the head. So, for example, a crack on George Washington would be W1 if it was the first one we were monitoring. So we not only want to know, is it changing, but we have now 3D capability that we can forecast how deep that crack might go, and is it likely to join another one?
Park facilities and visitor centers are open for the whole week. However, the Presidential Trail, directly below the faces, is closed as crews work above.
This Friday is the final Friday of summer. High school football in South Dakota has roughly reached the midseason mark, but one school in Sioux Falls is off to a good start in the early season with a new coach for the first time since Ronald Reagan was in the White House. SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
It's pretty hard to argue with the success of Sioux Falls O'Gorman football under Steve Keeter. In 33 seasons as coach of the Knights, he won a state record 289 games, and his teams won 7 state championships in 13 title game appearances. Keeter retired from coaching after last season. The man now running the program is Jason Poppinga, who comes to Sioux Falls from a successful run in Pierre. Poppinga knows he will take some getting used to.
No matter how long it lasts for the next, 10, 15, 20 years, you say O'Gorman football, people are still going to think of Steve Keeter and what he accomplished. I mean, you don't see many coaches around the country or the state or anywhere that, coached for as long as he did and was as successful.
Keeter remains as athletic director at O'Gorman. That makes him Poppinga's boss. Despite this, the new coach says the Knights will play within his system. That includes throwing the ball more than in Keeter's traditionally conservative offense.
No matter what, if you try to do something that somebody else did really well and try to copy that, it's not going to be a good fit. So, our personalities as coaches, as a coaching staff, and our personalities as players, it's different than what it was before. And, we're trying to play to the strengths of our team. And I think as the season goes on, you're going to see our kind of brand of football will become, this is what O'Gorman football is now and not what it was for the last 30 years.
O'Gorman has 2 wins in 3 games this season, with decisions over Rapid City Stevens and Brandon Valley, and a loss to Sioux Falls Roosevelt. The Knights take on unbeaten Sioux Falls Washington tonight at McEnany Field on the O'Gorman campus.
This week, Congress passed an act to spur tribal tourism and increase support for tribal art. The act boosts federal funding and resources for Native artists and tribal entrepreneurs. The bill aims to increase the number of Native-owned art and tourism-based businesses. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray has the story.
If you spend any time during the summer months at a place like Wounded Knee on Pine Ridge, there's a good chance you'll come across a busload of tourists, often from Europe, who stop at the site and make the climb up the hill to the cemetery. Wounded Knee is a popular destination for many who visit South Dakota, and the newly passed Native Act aims to help tribal communities capitalize on these types of visitors.
I think there's a lot of opportunities for Native tribes to advance tourism within their own tribal communities that haven't been taken advantage of in the past.
Jeremy Staub is with First Peoples Fund. The organization supports Native artists and culture bearers nationwide. Staub says the federal act provides more resources for tribal communities to develop their own culturally based economic development.
It can help to bring more people to tribal communities, again, helping to stimulate tribal economics through purchasing artwork and contributing to specifically staying at hotels, eating at restaurants, things like that.
South Dakota's U.S. Senators John Thune and Mike Rounds both co-sponsored the Native Act.
A recent report by the U.S. Geological Survey shows nearly 10% of Wind Cave National Park's elk population suffers from chronic wasting disease, or CWD. According to the report, the disease causes extreme weight loss and is incurable. In an effort to stop the spread of CWD, park officials are looking for volunteers to help reduce the elk population. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner has more.
Volunteers who want to help Wind Cave control the elk herd must meet a strict set of requirements. That includes being able to carry 70 pounds of gear, hike up to 10 miles, and shoot an 8-inch target from 200 yards. Alexander Picavet is with Wind Cave National Park. She says meat gathered from the process that doesn't carry CWD goes to the charity organization Feeding South Dakota, or to volunteers themselves.
All of the meat that is distributed that way will be labeled so that people will know that it came from an area that has chronic wasting disease but has been tested as non-detect for the disease.
Picavet says volunteers are chosen using a lottery system similar to those used for hunting permits. An online application is available until September 28th. The Elk Control Project goes through February of 2017. Picavet adds that it could take several years for scientists to know if efforts to reduce CWD work.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you want to hear more radio news stories or view additional programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, just visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook. And each day on our Facebook page, SDPB's Chris Loffrey will be recapping the top news from around South Dakota with a live stream of All Things Considered. That's at 4 p.m. Central Time every single day, Monday through Friday. You can also follow all of our Twitter accounts at South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Our handles are at SODECPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I am Nate Weck. Have a great weekend, everyone.